Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Time for the children's story.
The plane began to take off. There were three guys in the plane. Two of them were going to jump out of it. And at 3,500 feet, the pilot of the plane radioed to the local airport and he said, "We're at 3,500 feet. I'm about to cut the engine and we've got two jumpers." I climbed out onto the strut on the wing of that plane and I was hanging out there at 3,500 feet. This was my first jump. Yes, I was 16 years old. Believe it or not, my parents signed a waiver for me to do it. And so I'm out there hanging on the outside of that plane and the jump master is right there beside me and he said, "Steve, now when I tell you jump, you jump. You let go." And so here we are. It's quiet now. The engine has stopped. I'm hanging out there and he said, "Jump!" And I let go. And I flipped backwards. And I flipped right up under the airplane and I was hanging upside down at 3,500 feet connected to the plane. Now on your first jump, they have a thing called a static line. It's just a piece of rope that connects to, or a cord that connects to the plane and connects to your parachute and it automatically pulls it for you. And so here I am hanging under the airplane at 3,500 feet. And we're moving pretty quickly, so I'm dangling around, and that cord is just inches from my neck. Now, what had happened is that we had put a little piece of metal to stand on with some U-bolts, and we had turned them up instead of down, and my jumpsuit had a strap to keep my pant legs from flying up, and it hung on that bolt. And that's why I was hanging upside down. Do you think I needed Jesus that day? How were they going to land a plane with me hanging upside down under the plane? The jump master was leaning out the plane saying, "Don't panic, don't panic." He was all panicked. And then all of a sudden, rip. My pant leg ripped. I flipped. And fortunately, that cable did not wrap around my neck and hang me under the plane. Well, what a terrible way to die. And all of a sudden, I felt a surge, and the parachute came open. And it wasn't long before I heard a voice next to me saying, "Go to the right! Go to the right!" And it was the jump master. His name was Herbie. And there was only one tree in the whole field. You think I hit the tree?
Yeah.
And the jump master told me, he said, "You listen to my words. Even if you think I'm wrong, you listen to me and you go in the direction that I tell you to go." And you can operate those parachutes because they have these toggle lines. And so I was pulling down on the toggle line. That's right. And I knew that I needed to go to the left instead of the right. But he was all mixed up because he was so upset about what had just happened with me hanging under the airplane. And he put me right into the tree. And that was the first jump I ever had. Almost died under the airplane, then I land in a tree. I've got pictures of it. And I tore up my $20 parachute. That's what it cost. That was 36 years ago. Now, you think I did it again?
No.
All the guys say, "Yeah, yeah." And all the girls said, "No, no." Yes, I did. I went back up and I did it again. And the second time it was perfect. Everything went perfect. Now, here's the reason why I'm sharing this story with you. Who do you think saved my life that day? Go ahead. He did. He did. But you know, there was a problem. I didn't know God then. I didn't know Jesus. He wasn't my personal Savior. But you know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8? It says, but God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even though I didn't know Jesus, because Jesus has died for my sins and for your sins, there were protecting angels there because, you see, God had a plan for my life. And He has a plan for your lives. And you may not know what it is right now, but Jesus will reveal it to you one day. And He has promised to protect you and to take care of you. How many of you would like to raise your hand right now and say, I want to live for Jesus and I want His protecting angels around me? Amen. Let's pray together, okay? Father in heaven, I want to thank You for this fine group of young people. And Lord, I just pray for them. Lord, You know their future. And I pray that each and every one of them will live up to the full potential of what You have for them and that they will always live for You. And that they'll remember this story, that God will protect them and surround them, even in difficult times. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Our scripture this morning is found in Matthew 26, 36 through 38. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.
Loving Father in heaven, I want to praise Your holy name for the beautiful music that we have experienced. For the children, dear Lord, that are here that You have given us as an inheritance. And I want to praise You, Heavenly Father, for every fellow believer that is here today. They're not here because of what they can gain or get, but they're here because they want to worship and praise You. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that this message will bring honor and glory and praise to Your holy name. I also pray, Heavenly Father, that the power and the majesty of Your Holy Spirit would be felt here today. I pray that, dear Father, You would give me wisdom, kindness, and courage to present a message that is from Your Word. Thank You for all the blessings and for hearing our prayers today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I can imagine the moon casting eerie shadows as Jesus and Peter and James and John made their way to a place that I think that Jesus really didn't want to go there, but He knew that He had to. And that's Gethsemane. And I can imagine Jesus there with His disciples. I can imagine the great distress that Jesus was under. And for some reason, that night, Peter, James, and John just did not connect. They couldn't understand. And I'd like to explore the reasons why today. So let's turn to our scripture reading in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36. And we're going to read to verse 45. And if you have your Bible, please follow along with me. It's very important today to do that. Beginning with verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to His disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then He said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. Verse 39. And He went a little beyond them and He fell on His face and He prayed saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will. Verse 40. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" Verse 41, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Verse 42, "And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done.'" Verse 43, "And again he came and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy." Verse 44, "And he left them again, and he went away and he prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more." And then our last verse, verse 45, "Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners.'" Now, it's an interesting question that Jesus raised here with the disciples. "So you men could not watch with me for 1 hour." Why did Jesus ask that question? There are usually four reasons why Jesus would ask someone a question. First of all, to discover something. But there was nothing to discover at this particular time as Jesus addressed those sleeping disciples. A second reason why Jesus would ask a question would be to affirm someone. But from the context of the text that we just read, there was nothing to affirm the disciples for. They were doing exactly the opposite of what Jesus was asking them to do. Now, the third reason why Jesus would ask a question is to expose. And I believe he was trying to expose to them their spiritual need and their spiritual shallowness and their spiritual weakness. And the fourth reason why Jesus would ask a question is to teach. By asking the question, he was endeavoring to teach, and they had a lot to learn. And Jesus was endeavoring to teach them some very important lessons, because you see, they were on the eve of the crucifixion. It wouldn't be long before Jesus would be suspended between heaven and earth. And all of their great joy would turn into sadness. All of their hopes, everything that they had based their life upon up to that time, would be shattered before their very eyes. Now, before we go deeper into this study today, I would like for us to pause for just a moment and think. What is the real truth that Jesus was trying to reveal in this series of passages? I believe this is the truth right here. You can write this one down and take it to the bank. The truth is, their desire, speaking of the disciples, and our desire for spiritual success is greater than our capacity to fulfill it. I'm going to repeat it one more time. Our desire for spiritual success is greater than our capacity to fulfill it. You see, we want to please God, don't we? How many of you here want to truly please God? May I see your hands? You want to please Him. I believe that those disciples wanted to please Jesus. But they were way over their heads. Jesus said one time that the flesh is what? Weak, but the spirit is willing. Jesus kept saying to the disciples, "Keep watching and praying." In another place, in John chapter 15, you can just write it down. Verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit." And then he goes on to say, and this is so important, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." Ladies and gentlemen, the true reality is that we have within ourselves no ability, no capacity of our own to fulfill what God has asked us to do in this Bible. Jesus says to the disciples, could you not watch with me but just for 1 hour? They were not able to do it. We cannot live a good life without Christ in our lives. We do not have the strength nor the ability to do that. Religion teaches us to try to be good and to do good. But to be spiritual, ladies and gentlemen, means that we are in an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd like to illustrate it in two ways. When I was a young child, I was constantly being told, you need to obey God. You need to obey God. You need to do good. You need to do right. You need to be obedient, Steve. But yet I constantly stayed in trouble. I was constantly transgressing the will of my parents and the will of God. Why? I'll tell you why. Because no one ever sat me down and taught me how to be obedient to God. I was just told I must be. But no one told me how to be. This story of Jesus and the disciples reveals to us, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why millions of Christians are struggling in their relationship with God. Why they cannot live up to the high standard of Scripture. Let me give you another example, the second example. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23 and verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. Verse 32, but after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. Now notice the response of Peter in verse 33. Peter's standing there. He's intense. Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Can you imagine in your mind's eye seeing Peter saying, listen, these other guys may scatter. These other guys may not be as committed. But you can count on me, Jesus. I will be with you no matter what happens. I can guarantee, I promise you right now, this very moment, I will not let you down. I'm not going to fall away. You see, Peter missed a very important reality. You see, Peter was correcting Jesus. You notice that? Jesus said, all of you are going to fall away. And Peter says, no, Jesus, you don't have it right. You're not real clear right now. The others may fall away, but not me. But ladies and gentlemen, many of us have had that same kind of attitude. We've seen men and women fall away from Christ. We've seen them fall away from the church. And we've said, no, not me, Lord. I'll never fall away. I'll set my jaw. I will not move. I am unshakable. Let the right set of circumstances come. And your mettle will be tested. Peter said, I will not fall away. The fact is that Jesus was right and Peter was wrong. Go to verse 34 with me, please. Matthew 26. In verse 34, Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me how many times? Three times. Now, I don't want to beat up on the disciples. I believe that they were sincere. I believe that they were good-hearted. And I believe that they wanted spiritual success, just like we want spiritual success, don't we? We do. I want to be victorious in my life. I want to have victory over sin. I want to be a servant that God can use. I want to enter into the joy of the Lord and lead men and women to Jesus Christ. There is no higher joy, ladies and gentlemen, than to lead someone to the foot of Calvary and to see their lives changed and transformed. For everything else, there's Visa. But for this, ladies and gentlemen, there's only Jesus. I'm serious. There's no higher joy. Why do you think that I have these round tables and go through all the energy and all the effort to try to get church members to come in and to enter into that joy? I want you to have the same joy that I have all the time. And I want you to know I count it a privilege. A privilege. To be called a Christian and to be a minister in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I thank you for returning your tithes to God so that there can be an active ministry. But still at the same time, I want you to have the same joy, not only of giving, but of being able to see men and women make those eternal decisions. So we all want spiritual success. Again, Peter's desire for spiritual success, ladies and gentlemen, was greater than his ability to carry it out. What is the lesson that we can learn? We can't remain faithful without doing two things. And these are the things that Jesus said to Peter. Watch and what? Pray. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you cannot be spiritually successful without watching, that's spending time in God's Word, and praying. You may be able to slip by as a religious person and have a fairly even life. The money's coming in, the kids are doing great, everything is going smooth, I'm feeling good, God's blessing me, I'm good and religious. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is calling for spiritual people. At that particular time, Peter was religious. He wasn't really spiritual. And there's a vast difference between being religious and spiritual. That's why a lot of people shun being a soul winner, because you need to be spiritual to work with spiritual things. And it's easy for us to just come to church once a week and say, you know, I'm just going to kind of get a little bit for me and I'll go on my merry way. And hey, you know, Lord, mark it up. Was there another time? Got some more points with you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, none of us really consciously think that way, but subconsciously, sometimes we act that way. We need to be spiritual. And the only way we can be spiritual is to be connected to Christ. Now, let's go back to verse 44, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 44. He left them again and he went away and he prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. So here we find Jesus coming back to them again. The Bible says he prayed a third time. But he was saying the same thing once more to them. You see, we can set goals, we can attend classes, but unless we stay connected with Jesus and follow and listen to what he said to his disciples, watch and pray, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. Most of us are counting on our desire, our sincerity, and our ability to please God. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Our tendency is to try and not watch and pray. The question is, why do we desire all the great things of God And yet most of the time we don't watch and pray. What is causing us not to watch and pray? Now I'm going to repeat that. What is causing us not to watch and pray? And it's real simple. And it all comes from this story. It's not because we don't believe. If I were to ask how many of you here today believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that He died some 2,000 years ago for your sins, the majority of people would raise their hand here right now. It's not that you don't believe. Even as a minister, I have a hard time. I believe. I preach these things. But there are times when I am not careful and I don't watch and pray like I should and I get into trouble. It's much easier for me to go do than it is to watch and pray. Are you following me? And you see, it all goes back to the original deception when Eve was deceived by Lucifer when he said, listen, if you eat the fruit, your eyes will be open. And I remember preaching that sermon right here where we talked about the eyes. And it all had to do with God seeing to, preparing and protecting mankind. And Lucifer was simply saying to Eve, you eat the fruit, you'll be able to see. In other words, you'll be able to see to it or take care of yourself. And it's been the foundation of all spiritual works-related programs since the fall. The devil whispers in our ears, listen, you can really handle it. You can take care of yourself. You can just do the church thing and then don't watch and pray and everything's going to be fine. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a storm brewing. And part of that storm will be financial. But your storm may come before the big storm hits. The loss of a child, the loss of a spouse, the loss of a friend. The loss of everything you have. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to take inventory and find out deep down in our hearts, what are we really banking on? What are we really trusting on? If we're not watching and praying. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, could you not watch with me at least what? 1 hour. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I wonder how many of us here today have a discipline in our lives and on a regular basis we're watching and praying a minimum of an hour a day. That's what Jesus said. Could you not watch with me at least 1 hour? You see, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not spending time with God, watching and praying, and yet we're coming to church and we're doing the religious thing, we are setting ourselves up for failure. Now let's continue. The disciples believed. Peter even said, you are the Son of God. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you didn't come up with that on your own. The Holy Spirit revealed that to you. You see how tight Peter was with Jesus? And yet he was failing to watch and pray. And when the big test came, he was blown away. But there was something missing. And when I saw this, it humbled me to the floor. What was it that Peter and his friends did not see or understand? And it's real simple. They did not understand their need. You say, that's not profound, Steve. They did not understand their personal need. It works like this. You go to the doctor for a routine checkup. The nurse calls you a week later and she says, you know, we've noticed that there's some spots on your lung. We need you to come in 2 weeks for more testing. Now, those of you that experienced something like this before, which I have not, you know that those 2 weeks between the time that you got the news and the time that you go back to the doctor, you are living in turmoil. You're wondering, what are those spots? And those that have been careless in their spiritual experience, all of a sudden they begin to say, you know, Lord, I don't know if this is cancer or not. And the nurse made it sound like it doesn't look too good. And all of a sudden we begin to spend more time calling upon the Lord. You see the need? They didn't feel their need. In this illustration, the person is feeling their need, and then all of a sudden they get the news that it is cancer. And boy, I'll tell you what, they're spending 2 and 3 hours on their knees, they're cleaning up their diet, they're doing any and everything they can. Oh God, save me, please, I'll win souls, I'll do anything you want, I'll go to foreign lands, I will do whatever you want me to do, please God, don't let me die. You see, the difference is the need. When everything is going smooth, we've got lots of money, the kids are doing great, they're at Academy, they're at Andrews, everything is fine. We do not feel the need. We don't feel it. And then all of a sudden we cry out, help me. We begin to feel the need. What we fail to understand is that each and every one of us that call Christ our Savior, we are special targets of the dark one. And He is working 24/7 to strip us away from what we hold dear. And it's only the mercy of God while we are in our spiritual ignorance that He protects us. That's why I like Romans 5:8 that I shared with the kids. In verse 38 of the same chapter, Jesus was crying out, "Watch with me." You know what Jesus was saying, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus was saying, "Guys, you're my friends. I have come down from heaven. I have left my throne. I have left everything that I have. I have come down here. Now I'm at the pinnacle of my sacrifice right now. Your salvation is hanging in the balance. I have the cup in my hand and it's full and I'm shaking and I'm weak and my human side is crying out, watch with me. Please, my friends, gather around me. Support me in this ultimate time of my personal need. I need you, Peter. Please, Peter, help me." That's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, "I'm at my ultimate point in my life right now. Please, Peter, help me." That was the human side of Jesus crying out. And what was the response of Peter? "I'm sleepy. I'm tired." Because see, ladies and gentlemen, please don't miss this. Peter had not entered in fully to the mission of Jesus. He didn't realize that at that very moment, the eternal salvation of the whole planet weighed in the balance, and it was His privilege at that most important time in history for Peter to go over and to put his arms around Jesus when he was sweating great drops of blood, when he was clawing the ground. "Oh my God, if this thing could pass from me, please." And Peter was sleeping with the other disciples. Sleeping. The only need that Peter had at that time was what? Sleep. He wasn't interested in what Jesus was going through. He was only interested in himself. Because he had not fully yielded to the mission of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a biblical fact. This is not a guilt trip. You cannot be a true born-again Christian and not have an intense longing and desire to seek and to save that which is lost. True Christianity calls for us to have the same heart, the same eyes, the same mission, the same motives, the same desire as Jesus. And you will not have that if you're not spending time with God. And I learned that when I was 24 years old and I stood before a church and I begged the church members to come out to an evangelistic meeting that I was holding. And I began to realize afterwards, when very few showed up, that I was asking religious people to do spiritual things, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so often we look at the meetings and all these things as something Steve's doing or the church board's doing. No, this is the mission of Christ. And I don't want to take away from the personal ministries that He has for all of you. But there are times when we have corporate ministries when there's a great reaping and harvest that takes place. Peter did not feel his need other than he was sleepy. Now I'm going to cut this sermon short because we're running low on time. But I want us to look at a five-fold predictable pattern in this story. And what I want you to do as we go through this five-fold predictable pattern, I want you to look at your own lives, not your spouse, not your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your schoolmate, no one else but yourself. Right now, I want you to be just locked in with the Spirit of God. And I want you to think about where you are at in this experience right here that I'm about to read. The first step that led Peter and his friends to get into trouble, the first one was self-confidence. They had self-confidence. Ladies and gentlemen, we were told all the time, you've got to have self-confidence. You've got to have confidence in yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to have confidence in Jesus. You want to be great? You want to do great things? Make Jesus first. And if He so deems that He can trust you with great things, He will do it. If you do it aside from Him, you'll get the accolades. You'll get the pats on the back. You may even get the big carrot, the golden carrot. But in the end, you lose your eternal salvation. We're dealing with life and death here, folks. That's what we're dealing with. You see, in Matthew 26, verses 33 through 35, they all said that they wouldn't leave Him. Peter said it big time. You could even see the competition where he was saying, if others leave, he was probably looking at the other disciples saying, you guys are probably leaving, but not me. Self-confidence. The second step. Spiritual lethargy. Spiritual lethargy. Self-confidence, you can count on this. Self-confidence leads to spiritual lethargy. Notice verse 35 of Matthew 26. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing too. Verse 40. And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter. Isn't it interesting? He addresses Peter. So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Self-confidence. How many of us here have said, I will die for you, Jesus. I'll die for this truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't love this truth enough to share it with other people and have a hunger and a desire to see them be taken away from the snares that are holding them and the chains that are binding them to the pits of destruction, how in the world will you die for something that you're not even bought into right now? And I say that to myself. This is not a criticism towards you, but it is a stark reality that we must understand. What is our commitment level? Where are we at? In verse 43, they're sleeping. Verse 45, they're sleeping. But here's the good news. Later on in the book of Peter, 1 Peter 5:8, we all know it. Peter says, be of sober spirit. And then he says, be on what? Alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. In other words, Peter said, be wide awake. Don't sleep. Watch and pray. I learned my lesson. It was a bitter lesson and it hurt. But Jesus didn't trash me. He didn't throw me away. He gave me another chance. He placed a new beginning in my heart. And now I'm testifying to you, be awake. Be sober. Watch and pray. The adversary is after your soul. Folks, there's none of us here that are safe. None of us are safe. The reason we get into spiritual lethargy is because we don't understand the urgency of the moment. Sitting in your easy chair at home and everything's going fine. All of a sudden you see smoke and then flames start coming into the room where you're at. Of course you just sit there and you relax, right? Now what do? Because of the urgency of the situation, you're out of the chair and you're moving to safety, taking your loved ones with you. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why we sleep now, we don't watch, we don't pray, we're so busy with the cares of the world, and I know what some of you think, yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. You know, you get paid to do what you do, and we have to go to work to pay you to do what you do. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't pay me enough to do what I do. Because if it's about money for me, I'm a fool. Because I turned down a whole lot more money. I walked away from a profession that I was making a lot more money than I am now. I can tell you right now, it has to be serving God because our hearts understand. The moment we understand the urgency, and the only way you understand the urgency is because you're watching and you're praying. I need to hasten on the third step. And by the way, where there is no urgency, there is no motivation. Third step is temptation. Temptation. You see, self-confidence leads to spiritual lethargy, which leads to temptation. We all know what temptation is. Temptation is not a sin. But Jesus said, pray that you be led not into what? Temptation. Now I'm going to hasten on here. The fourth step is sin. You will sin. You see, self-confidence leads to lethargy, which leads to temptation, which equals sin. This is so predictable. You can see it in the lives of the disciples. You see, we must correct the foundation before we can correct the choices that we make. The reason we sin is because there are three presets as to why a person sins. When temptation comes, whether it be pride, whether it be lust, whether it be anger, whatever it might be, if you are not watching and praying, it's not a matter of if, it's when. Fellas, that good-looking secretary at work that keeps batting her eyes at you, and you think back to your wife at home and the kids, and you think about the church and everything, if you're not watching and praying and you're on temptational ground, it won't be long. It may be a month, it may be 2 months, it may be 6 months, it may be a year, but the first thing that's going to happen is your mind will start drifting. And you will start fantasizing, and before long, you will fall. And you will say, how in the world could that happen to me? I've been an elder in the church. I've been a deacon in the church. How in the world? It's predictable. If you're not watching, if you're not praying, if you're not on your knees pleading with the God of heaven to keep your soul each and every day, the adversary of the soul will get you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are being arrogant before the throne of God if we leave the house every day and we're not spending time in God's Word. We're not praying. Who are we? Who do we think we are? We cannot stand against a force that is far greater than us. In Matthew 26, verse 56, I'm going to close with these last few verses as we go into our fifth reason. Then all the disciples left him and fled. You see, Jesus saw the precepts, and he knew what they would do. Even before it happened, Jesus says, all of you are going to leave me. He knew. By their actions. And he was trying to correct it by pleading with them, saying, watch and pray. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can divorce Steve Vail of this. But I'm telling you that it's the Word of God sharing with you today that you must watch and pray. You must watch and pray. Some of us will need to go home today and fall on our knees and repent of our lack of watching and praying. Remember, the good news is it's not too late. When temptation comes and we will fall, it leads us to the fifth step, which is self-destruction, loss, and regret. And as a minister, I have seen this fifth step in people's lives over and over and over again. Let's close out with Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus the Galilean. Verse 70. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. Now remember, just a few hours before, he said, I will die with you. No matter who leaves you, I'm hanging in there with you, Jesus. And Jesus looked right into his eyes and said, Peter, could you not watch with me? Watch and pray for 1 hour? Verse 71. When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. In verse 72, and again he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. He was telling a partial truth there. Partial truth. He really didn't know because he had not entered into the ministry of Jesus. Verse 73, a little later, the bystander came by and said to Peter, surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. Verse 74, then he began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. Verse 75, and Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Hard lesson. Later on, Jesus finds Peter with arms outstretched. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, oh Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. He said, go and feed my sheep. Ladies and gentlemen, the same call is coming to us today. Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? If you do, then go and gather his sheep. As Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. They too must hear. They must come and be a part of it. And the Bible also says, how can they hear unless someone goes and tells? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to challenge you today along with myself that we might take it very seriously. That we need to be born again every day and that we need to watch and we need to pray. How many of you would like to send a message to heaven today and say, Lord, I want to learn to watch and pray. Would you like to raise your hand right now? Let's pray together. Father, you have seen our hands. Help us, Lord. Oh, Lord God, to learn the lesson that Peter learned. To watch and to pray each and every day. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, as we leave your sanctuary this morning, help us each one to determine in our individual lives to watch and pray each day. Help us to begin each day with you. Help us to grow closer to you each day in our worship, in our everyday acts. May each one of us realize that this is an eternal decision that we are making day by day. Dismiss us, Lord, with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.